audition purposes, we present the first chapter in the diary of Julia Foster, expectant mother. Gentlemen of the audition board, it is our purpose to present for your approval the story of Julia Foster in two ways. This first record to which you are now listening will be in a diary form, with Julia doing the telling of her own story. The story of Julia Foster, expectant mother, deals with a phase of life that is sacred to everyone, a phase that is necessary to the existence and continuance of humanity and the happiness of all mankind. Nothing we can say will add to the shining, glorious reality. Instead, we'll let Julia Foster tell you. Julia Foster, whose life has been lived by millions of other women, and therefore may be you, or your neighbor, your sister, your daughter, or your wife. And so, the diary of Julia Foster.
I've neglected you a long time, Diary. Perhaps I've done that because I've had nothing to write about. Nothing except the humdrum, trivial things that happen every day. Become so much a part of us that we don't see anything unusual in them. But today is different. So different that now that I have something wonderful to write, I can't find any words. What I want to say, I simply can't find phrases and words to express. I wish I were a great writer, with beautiful words ready to slip off the end of my pen. But I'm not. Then again, perhaps I'm glad that I don't have those words, because somehow when you adorn a beautiful thing with wonderful phrases, the language detracts from the glorious simplicity, the wonderful clarity of what you know. So I'll tell it my own way. It was about 8 o'clock this morning, just after Ed had left for the office, and I decided to go to Dr. Martin. I didn't tell Ed I was going, because I felt that somehow I had a secret. A secret I couldn't share with anyone. Not even with Ed, whom I love better than anything or anyone else in the whole world. I don't know how I managed to keep so calm. I finished the breakfast dishes, stacked them in the china closet, just as I've done so many other mornings. But this morning, well, I felt more a part of our home. Everything seemed closer. I looked out the back window at the little garden Ed is starting. I saw the tender green shoots just pushing through the brown earth. And suddenly, our home, every piece of furniture, every dish, every book in the cases became more personal. They were ours, Ed's and mine. I didn't know for certain what Dr. Martin was going to tell me. I don't think any woman does. I don't know yet whether I hope one way or the other. So I left the house about 10, and the fluffy white clouds seemed to press down on the houses on our street. I got to Dr. Martin's office at 11 o'clock. He saw me right away. And then he told me something. Oh, I hear his voice right now, even while I'm writing this. I can hear his soft, kindly voice saying,
Julia, I know you'll want to be congratulated. And I know both you and Ed will be happy. You're going to have a baby.
That was all he said. I don't know what I showed in my face. I don't remember what I said. All I do know is that I wasn't surprised. I think every woman knows some way or another. I knew it, yet I wasn't sure. Just as a cake may turn out badly. So I might have been wrong. I went home then. Nothing else entered my mind all the way to our home. I found myself looking for children along the streets. It was like getting acquainted all over again with life. Before, I'd never thought about children of my own. Oh, I mean, I'd thought about them, yes. And I never realized, really, that I might have one. I have to start dinner now, Diary, because Ed will be home soon. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to tell him. I've seen a lot of movies in which the wife tells the husband, but I know those lines are written for him. They're written for the actress to say. She can't possibly feel them, so she says them easily. But I haven't got any lines written for me. I'll have to think them up myself. How am I going to say them, Diary? I'll think about it while I get dinner ready. I'll think a lot. Maybe something will suggest it to me. Dinner is almost ready, Diary. And Ed will be home in 15 minutes. I still haven't thought of a way to tell him. I'll wait for the moment to come. And, Diary, I have a confession to make. While I was cooking, I got frightened. Very frightened. It came on me all of a sudden. I guess before that I was too busy thinking of Ed, or the baby itself, to think a lot of myself. And then, all at once, the thought flashed through my mind. What about me? I stopped what I was doing. I got cold. I know I must have stood in the middle of the kitchen for a full minute, just thinking. Thinking. Does that sound selfish, Diary? I was thinking about myself. Oh, I told myself I was a fool. Mary had her baby nicely and safely. Ruth had twins, and everything was all right. I reassured myself that way, but then some little part of myself argued against that. It said, yes, Mary and Ruth had their babies all right. But perhaps they're different from you, stronger, better able to go through than what you have to go through. And I laughed at that little thought. I told myself that I was as strong as Mary, more responsible than scatterbrained Ruth. Then the little voice spoke again. Of course, you're as strong as Mary, more responsible than Ruth. But something can always go wrong. I sat down, Diary. I sat down and cried. Oh, I felt ashamed. There was nothing I could do about the tears. Nothing at all. I cried for a minute, and then I thought of something else. Something my mother told me when I married Ed. I remember her saying,
Julia, you're married now. Ed is a wonderful person, and you're both very much in love with each other. Someday you're going to have children. I know that. Because you and Ed love each other so much, you'll want something live to prove that love. Children are the only answer to that. But you're going to be frightened, Julia. Dear darling, you're going to be so frightened. You're going to imagine all sorts of things. I was frightened, Julia. So was my mother and her mother. Every woman is frightened. Scared. We just can't help it, dear. But remember this. It's like taking a long trip to a country you know nothing about. What you'll find there, you don't know. How you'll get there, you have no idea. But it's an adventure. An adventure more glorious, more wonderful than anything anyone has done. Look at it that way, Julia, and you'll be brave.
I remembered those words of my mother, Diary, and I felt better. I stopped crying. I washed my eyes so Ed wouldn't notice. Then I... Dari. There's Ed. Ed's coming home. He's here. What will I tell him, Dari? How will I tell him? What will he say? Maybe he doesn't want children. We have a nice home, car, enough to eat. We go to the movies twice a week. Oh, but there are bills. Everyday bills to pay. And now... Now there'll be more bills. Oh, Dari, I can't go to the door. I can't. I don't know what to say. Oh, he'll wonder what's wrong, Dari, so I've got to go now. I'll tell you more after I've told Ed. But what will he say? How will he take it?
And so the diary of Julia Foster, expectant mother, closes for today. We'll have Julia open it again tomorrow. And remember, her thoughts may be the thoughts of thousands of Julia Fosters all over the country. You'll want to hear what she writes after she has told Ed. So listen in again tomorrow at this same time for another page in the diary of Julia Foster, expectant mother. The story of Julia Foster is written and produced by Russell S. Hughes and is a presentation of Station KFWB in Hollywood.